they acquire the property, how did he acquire like the property from okay. their back? Do you know? Or
I really don't, because my grandfather was very shrewd, I think, Cas was. And he came to Jacksonville, and some, we have looked back in the records now, we found a person that reared him, and we don't think it was his mother. It was, his mother's name was Charlotte, we think. We've gone to the cemetery and looked. But we think his grandmother reared him. And we have discovered lately that he had a twin. We don't know where that twin is or anything. But we know that he was a worker, and he was self-taught, and he was a very bright person. And he knew how to make money. He knew how to do a lot of different things to make money. And he said that, and this is far history, my daddy said he remembers people coming to the house, and there were a lot of people who were very influential, didn't want anybody to know they were borrowing money. So they'd wait till it was very dark, and they'd come to the back door and knock on the door and say, hey, you know, I need to borrow this, this, this thing. And my grandmother was the one that always kept the money. My Aunt Ruth said she kept it in a little black purse. And she'd always go down in there and get it. And she also kept the receipts for all the houses. Even though the people were working for him, some of them lived in houses that they had to pay rent for. So I think he was, knew how to make money. And I remember my daddy saying that they used to buy steak, and Papa would eat the steak. And they would pay like 15 cents, 25 cents for a steak.
God.
Yeah. And my dad had a violin when he was a little boy, and I wish we had kept it, and a china doll. My daddy did. I just can't believe he was. I can't ever see him with any kind of doll, but I do know he loved girls. But all his daughters, he just thought we were just super, and he always bragged on my mother. And girl babies, he really enjoyed little girl babies. And so, he had four daughters and no sons, and he was just, we petted him. he did have a china doll. I mean, really china doll. And I just wish somebody had kept it, and that violin. It's just very unusual, handcrafted. But that's just about the way it was at Jacksonville. Where the elementary school now is, my daddy remembers playing ball up there with the guys. They would play with one side of town against another side of town. That was their entertainment. And he said that that was the dormitory up there, where Kitty Stone is now. You remember all that. There was an opera house in Jacksonville. I found some of the old seats that still had the brass numbers on them, the folding seats. There was an old church. Well, the church is out behind where Witnesses, they had those wooden pews, and they were getting ready to burn them, and they let me have two sections for 35 cents. And I let my sister have one of them. There were a lot of culture things in Jacksonville. Jacksonville just always been a kind of special place.
It's kind of hard to believe, you know, now you have college, and a lot of kids can say, oh, it's so boring. Mm-hmm. But really, there's so much history here. I mean, you're just giving me a piece of it here. It's almost hard to believe. I know that you were born in 1933 during the middle of the Great Depression. I know you were young and you don't remember a lot of it. But I'm sure that your parents related to you, you know, things that they had to do during the Depression, basically to make ends meet. And then you had World War II come along, and I know that there was a rationing and everything like that. Tell me what you remember about what they told you about the Depression and World War II.
Well, I remember that they said that they had just gotten married, and how cold the winters were, and they used to eat a lot of syrup. My mom said they were young. They were very young. And they put the syrup in on the fireplace with the top on it and had explosions. Like the top would go shooting up the chimney. And I remember my mother saying that they would do without things just to get olive oil to put on me. My daddy just wanted me to have pretty skin. And he would buy olive oil. And she would say, no, we're going to sacrifice it. He said, yes, just say we got him olive oil. But during that time, they had what they call the CCC. I don't know, but she talked about that. My daddy also lost one of his fingers when he was in the CCC, and he was in the service. I have letters that they wrote each other back during that time, and when they were in elementary school, that my daddy kept, and we never didn't know it after my mother and my father passed away. I don't know what I'm going to do with the letters. I would like to laminate them, but there's so many of them. But anyway, he was in the hospital there for a while, and I think it was when he got in the 62 when they had more things that they could, well, more money that they could spend, but there wasn't a lot of things to buy either. I don't remember anything about it. We did not ever go without anything. During the Second World War, I don't remember a lot about it, but I do remember that I started taking piano lessons when I was very young, and I remember hearing my piano teacher said something about the war once. And I remember one year I had an aunt that came down from Ohio, and she carried us back with her. And my sister and I were walking down the street with one of our cousins, and some men passed us in a car, and they were shooting, I mean, real guns out the window, and saying, "The war is over." And we were looking at each other like, "What war? What are you talking about?" We didn't know, but we knew it was a happy time. Everybody was happy. I do remember, and I always liked fancy shoes, and my dad always wanted us to wear shoes that laced up. And I remember having stamps that you used to buy shoes. Shoes were rationed to get like one pair of shoes for, I don't remember, whether it was for a year or whatever. You also had to have stamps for sugar, and I can't remember. I can vaguely remember. I don't even remember what stamps looked like. But I remember talking about that, and it seems to me like gas, but I don't think that many people had cars, really. So maybe, I'm not sure, but it seemed like I remember that gas was rationed for a few people. To get things, yeah.
So let's go to, well, talk about your first husband. Now, how did you meet? When did you get married?
Oh,
how many kids did you have? Give me some background on that.
All right, his family were also pioneers after this. He was 4 years older than I was, and he was growing up. That seems like he's so old. And I used to see him, and I knew the family. They owned Reese's Shop, which is the oldest business in Jacksonville. His people came here from somewhere in North Carolina or something, and his great-great-grandfather lived in the homes of the people that needed their shoes repaired. He traveled around. They received their name from Reed. The Reed, like Reed Mill, and they were also some way connected with the Adahos. They claimed a relationship with the Adahos, and they had this shop, and I met him. Like I said, I'd always known, we've always done church together, and I always thought his sister was just gorgeous. She was older than he was, she was one of the people that I admired. I was coming home from school one day in Anniston. We went to high school in Anniston because my father taught high school in Anniston. When we got in ninth grade, he had us down there. And my first husband's name was Eugene, and he pretended he happened to be walking down the street at the time. I happened to be going to catch the bus, and he happened to ask me if I wanted to ride, and I knew my daddy would kill me, but I could not resist it. He was so handsome, and just to think that here's somebody that's been in the Navy is going to ask me to ride. And I got in the car and rode, and he asked me, "Will I go to the movie?" And I said yes, and I got home and I cried and begged and asked daddy, "Could I go?" And he finally did, and we later on did marry after I finished high school. And he was discharged and came back to Jacksonville. And we had four boys, not all at one time, but four sons. And then in 1971, when he was 41 years old, he passed away. And it was, you know, just shocking to us all, because we didn't realize that he was that sick. The stores in Jacksonville closed. They flew the flag at half-mast. They asked permission to carry his body around the square and then on to the cemetery. He was a quite influence in this area. He was on the Boy Scout Board of Directors. He was a deacon in church, Sunday school superintendent, a very good family man. Loved us, you know, his parents loved him. They were just, their name and their family they were just very instrumental in the developing of the business in Jacksonville. And my children are very much like them. They were very young. My baby was almost 9, and Marcus, my oldest son, that's an attorney now, was I think it was, he was in the 11th grade, and then I had one in the 10th grade, and then Gregory was probably 7th or 8th grade. But they were very supportive of me. I had just started the college. Dr. Montgomery came to my house and told me, "You can't quit now." I had been out a lot because of his sickness, and he said, "If you come to my office, I'll give you a note, and you can go to your instructors. They'll help you make it." But everybody in Jacksonville knew about it, and they just put their arms around me. Mrs. Stone's club gave me a scholarship, and everybody just told me, you know, my mom told me, said, "You know, time's going to pass anyway. You can spend it here, sit down, think about yourself, and feel sorry for yourself, or you can do something with it." It was very hard. You know, I just wanted to pull my head up. But I just buckled down, and I talked to my children, and they said, you know, they understood. And we just ate peanut butter and rode around with a hole in the car, and we made it. With the help of the good Lord, I have a lot of faith, and I know He had to be with us.
How many years were you married?
I was married, it had to be 17 or 18 years. Yeah, because Marcus was in the 11th grade, and I was married a year before he was born, so it had to be 17 years that I was married. 17, 18 years.
So sometime mid-50s, something like that?
Oh, when I, no, he died in 71.
Okay.
I can't see. We married in 54,
54.
53,
mm-hmm.
Something like that. 54.
So, had your husband already served, like, in Korea? He served in Korea,
yes.
Right? He had already served in Korea.
Right, he was in the Navy. He volunteered for the Navy when he finished high school. And he wanted to go to Tuskegee, and every time he would get ready to go, his father would want him to stay here with him, and he would suddenly take sick or something, you know, and he didn't get to go because he wanted to go and take shoe repairmen, and he wanted to do something with the business besides his big shoes. He wanted to bring in other leather goods. He made leather sandals. He made belts. He made a lot of holsters for the police here in Jacksonville. He made gun racks. He was very good, you know, with this, and he wanted to expand. But he was very respectful, loved his parents dearly, and he kind of stood back and let them decide what would be best for him. And his father said he was going to retire once, but he kind of, you know, didn't really retire. And he always just stood back thinking, well, one day I'll be able to do all this, you know, when he really retires. But as it so happened, unfortunately, he passed away like 4 years before his father did. And then 4 years later, his mother died. And then he had one sister, and she passed away a couple of years ago, and that's all relatives. But it just so happened we had four sons, which carries the Reed name. Other than that, there are no more Reeds. Oh, mm-hmm. Of course, all my sons have, except one have, you know, boys. We have, Marcus has a girl, two girls, and my son, Calvin, has one girl, but the rest of them are boys.
Carrying on that family name for a long time to come.
Right.